Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. It's Open Mic Friday, October the 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. This gives you an opportunity to take over the microphone here at KFUO simply by calling in and asking any question. The numbers to call in on, for example, in St. Louis, 821-0850. And anywhere in North America, which also includes St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Now, what is the purpose of Law and Gospel? The purpose of Law and Gospel is to help you to understand the two most important doctrines in the Scripture. Now, a lot of people will say, well, wait a minute. Is not the most important doctrine in the Scripture about Jesus? Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. In fact, that's part of the theme of the Reformation, the 500th anniversary this year. It's all about Jesus. But what does that mean? There are a lot of people who speak about Jesus, but they do not understand what they're saying. In other words, until you understand law and gospel, here's a summary way of putting it. The Jesus in the Scripture is the one who teaches us that there is no law you can obey to be saved. And Jesus is the one who makes it clear that the gospel is the good news of how we are saved. That's what we mean by Jesus. Okay, I think we're ready to go to our phone lines right now. And we're going to go and speak with Ken. Ken, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Hi, Pastor. Pastor, I have, I'm a Lutheran, but I have lots of friends who are of other denominations,
sure.
particularly, say Presbyterian or Congregationalist, and a lot of them say to me, "You Lutherans, you think you can sin, get forgiveness, and then you can sin again, and just keep doing it over and over again." And it's a Calvinist feeling I get, but can you explain where that comes from in those Calvinist denominations?
Yes. I'm going to first of all give you a little insight as to how I would respond to them.
Okay.
Obviously, they think that we are off base, that we can sin again and again, and God's going to keep forgiving us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way I witness is by asking questions. And what I would do is I would figure out a question where they will contradict themselves. So let's say one of your friends is a father or a mother. They have children. Mm-hmm. And here's the question I would ask them. Oh, okay. I know you have two children. And I'm really glad to hear that when they disobey you and you forgive them, then they keep on disobeying you, that you're going to kick them out of the house. You're going to get rid of them as your children. You're not going to love them anymore because you allow them to disobey you once. But if they keep on doing it, guess what? Now, the point, therefore, is they are better parents than God is. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
And this is why, and we had a little discussion with Mark Smith about how Christianity is ridiculous. Peter says to Jesus, "Do I need to forgive someone seven times?" And the word seven, especially in biblical thinking, means fullness. You know, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 7 days of creation, etc. Jesus comes back and says, "No, 70 times 7. And that's what I would say to a parent. When your child is disobedient, You forgive them. You may discipline them. How many times are you going to do that? Just seven times, and then at that point, they're out of the family? No. You will do it forever because of that relationship you have with them. And also because we're poor, miserable sinners due to our original sin, so we should expect people to keep on sinning. That's why we encourage them to go to church every Sunday to hear the greatest good news they can ever hear. And it isn't upon the fact that you have stopped sinning, I forgive you. You wouldn't have to forgive anybody if they stopped sinning, but rather upon this, your confession, that confession of repentance, I, by virtue of my office in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, forgive you. So anytime somebody has that view, that we Lutherans think that we can keep sinning again and again, we're just realizing our true condition and our inability to stop from sinning, but how gracious and merciful God is. Now, if you're talking to a five-point Calvinist, you see, they believe in what's called limited atonement, that Jesus only died for the elect. And the way that they know they're part of the elect is they look to see if they have strong enough faith to stop from sinning. So we Lutherans who keep saying we're poor, miserable sinners, well, that's like saying we're not part of the elect. And that's why they say, you know, that just doesn't make any sense. Even though they would agree with that totally in regard to their children. Is that helpful?
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling.
Sure.
And anybody else can call us. Our number's here in St. Louis, 821-0850. See, we don't put the 314 at the beginning of it, because if you're in St. Louis, and we're in St. Louis, you'll get right to us. But if you're out of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. This idea that I've been talking about, namely how ridiculous Christianity is. Yes, Mark Smith is very good in saying you really got to explain that when we talk about how ridiculous Christianity is, because a lot of times when they hear something ridiculous, it means it's not correct. It's not right. And we don't mean that at all. It just means that when you understand the doctrines of Christianity, they don't make any sense to us at all. And we're going to go back to the phone lines and talk with Mike. How are you doing today, Mike?
Real good. How about yourself?
Real good.
Listen, I was listening to what that person was saying, but to me, you seem like you left out something. You know, there's a difference. You know, we have a sin nature, but there's a difference between sinning and the practice of sin. And if somebody's into the practice of sin, that's a totally different thing, you know?
Yes, but that's not what he was talking about, is that we keep getting forgiven because of sin. And this is a good point Mike's making. When you practice sin, that becomes your lifestyle. And what's missing, Mike, is repentance. And I would definitely agree with you there, because the Bible even says those who practice such things, and you got to look at that original Greek there and the context, these are people who love to sin. They are not repentant of sin. And therefore, you make a very good point, Mike, in making that distinction.
Okay.
Thank you so very much for calling, and anybody else can call. Our numbers here are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And this is why I love Open Mic Friday, because I'll say certain things, but there's always another level that one needs to be speaking about. So if when Ken phoned, his friends are saying, boy, you Lutherans say that you can be forgiven any sin and just keep on sinning. If they mean that in the sense that you're never repentant of it, no. It's very clear that we Lutherans say, upon this, your confession. And what is that confession? A lot of times we'll have the Lord's Supper. And occasionally at my former congregation, we would do the matin service. The Matins means a morning service, but it really did not have the Lord's Supper in it. But when we would use the Lord's Supper in the Matins service, before we would begin the liturgy of the Lord's Supper, we would always go back to page 5 or 15 where there was a confession of sin and the absolution. And the absolution of sin is so important. In fact, I was talking recently to a pastor who's kind of taking care of a congregation while they're calling a pastor, and he found out that these people from the former pastor had never recognized how important every worship service is in forgiving sins. And they just loved to hear that because they were thinking, like many others do, that the reason God loves you and is merciful to you is because you stop from sinning. Take a look at the disciples of Jesus. Can you imagine being around Jesus for 3 years and then in the Garden of Gethsemane deserting him? You can hardly think about that. You've seen his miracles. You've heard the message of the gospel. What was wrong with these people? Well, because they are with original sin. They are often thinking more about themselves. What is in it for me? And therefore, when Jesus is being arrested and being taken away just a few days after the great Palm Sunday entrance, they're totally confused. And that confusion really helps us to understand the message of Christianity, because Christianity is a very confusing message. It simply doesn't make sense until you have faith. Faith makes sense of the insensible. All righty, let's go back to our phone lines right now, and let's speak. Is this Barbara?
Yes.
How can I help you?
I keep hearing about doctrines, Lutheran doctrines, doctrines of the Bible, and then I heard you mention doctrines of Christianity. How many doctrines are there?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Well, for example, let's just take Jesus Christ. You've got the doctrine that he's both human and divine. You've got the doctrine that he is prophet, priest, and king. You got the doctrine that he had active obedience and passive obedience. And so all that doctrines mean, this is how God describes his way of thinking, his personality, and his attributes. So the fact is that we in the Lutheran Church believe that the Lutheran confessions, when they speak about doctrine, they are an accurate summary of what the Bible has to say. And so each doctrine needs to be looked at on the basis of Scripture to see if it's truly a doctrine of Christ. I'm interested in why you're asking the question.
Well, I just was reading in the Bible, the introduction in that new Bible study Bible, and it said, you know, this doctrine, and then it mentioned the justification through faith alone, not by works.
Yes.
And so then I thought, well, you know, I keep hearing this word doctrine, and then I was reading something else last night, and they talked about, you know, the doctrines, and then the doctrine of law and gospel. And then you mentioned it again today.
Yes.
Just like the words broken have come up recently, and the words of the devil doubling down. Well, the doctrines has been coming up to me, and I was just interested in, you know, just what they were and how many times or how many do we have.
Yes. When obviously you had parents, and didn't your parents have certain guidelines and rules at home? Those were their doctrines.
Okay.
And therefore, if they say we're going to eat at 5 o'clock and you show up at 8, guess what? You're either not going to eat or you're going to have cold food.
Yes.
So all the doctrines are the teachings of God from the Scripture. And we got to be really careful, because there are some people who want to invent doctrines that aren't found in the Scripture.
Okay.
And when those are stated, for example, not long ago, I heard someone say that, you know, on Sunday, it is a sin to cut your lawn because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Well, first of all, they not only have the word Sabbath messed up, because that was Saturday anyway, but cutting your lawn or doing work on Sunday is not a breaking of the third commandment in light of the fact that those were part of the ceremonial laws, namely you had to do it on Saturday, that we're no longer following. So you need to have a really good pastor who knows the original languages and the context of the day in order to understand what is God saying, which are his doctrines.
Now, would there be a list or a book of some sort, or would I go to the Book of Concord?
Yes, the Book of Concord is definitely the booklet for Lutherans that summarizes the doctrines. And I can't believe that anyone would disagree that the main doctrine of the Scripture is justification by grace through faith on account of Jesus. That's what he says everywhere.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for calling. Mm-hmm. God bless. And if you want to know what are the doctrines, just keep listening to KFUO. We've got all kinds of good programs here in order to teach you about doctrine. Doctrine isn't a big word. It just means the will of God as to how he thinks about reality. In fact, I'll give you an example, which I think was the greatest Bible study ever held in the Bible. And that was on the road to Emmaus. Now, I've said this before, but in case Barbara hadn't heard it, there were two disciples that Jesus met on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. And you would think they would be really happy because, oh, yes, Jesus had died on the cross, but they had already heard that some of the women had seen him risen from the dead. Now, why were they not happy? They were really forlorn. Because they did not understand the doctrine of the crucifixion. And it's really interesting. Jesus then begins in Genesis through Malachi. Those were the Old Testament books. And he even says what he's doing. He's explaining why the Messiah had to suffer. You see, the two disciples, they had a mind block. Here Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He was going to restore Israel to its former grandeur, get rid of the Romans, and instead he gets crucified, and now he's buried. So how did Jesus do that? Well, in Genesis 3, God, through the serpent, says a promise that he's going to send the Messiah, and it will be of the seed of Eve. Eve even thought that Cain was the Messiah when chapter 4, verse 1, she says, I have gotten a man, the Lord. But it wasn't. It wasn't for centuries later. Then Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now they began to understand the reason why Jesus was crucified. Because only God, in becoming a man, could do what was necessary to save us. So while the disciples were totally confused about why the crucifixion took place, they now came to understand it as part of the plan of God from before the foundation of the world. When the Holy Trinity decided that the second person would become a human being to die on the cross, because the Holy Trinity realized that human beings would fall into sin and were unable to free themselves from the curse of the law. This is tremendous good news, and that's what we call the doctrine of God. So if you read that section about the Emmaus disciples, they even said, while Jesus was talking to them, their heart began to burn within them. I can't tell you how many times I'm doing a youth confirmation or an adult instruction and the lights go on. When I was thinking about a title for this radio program, which is Law and Gospel, I was thinking of just calling it AHA, A-H-A-A, because that's what Law and Gospel is all about. It gives you all kinds of aha experiences. Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, what a great insight. And this is called the Doctrines of God. Now, for youth, we love to use Luther's Small Catechism because it is an accurate summary of the doctrines of God. I always like to use his large catechism, which goes into greater detail. But if you want to get a really clean view of the doctrines of God, then, as Barbara said, you go to the Book of Concord. And by the way, Concordia Publishing House has now got a reader's edition to the Book of Concord. What does that mean? That we weren't able to read the other Book of Concords? No. It means it has all kinds of notes as to why were they concerned about this particular false doctrine. I'll tell you this. Every false doctrine, I don't care how small, takes away your comfort. That's the purpose of true doctrine, to give you comfort. And so it may seem rational to some people that Jesus only died for the elect. But look at the comfort that is lost when you're unable to say to anybody, Jesus died for you. You can't say that if you believe he only died for the elect, because you'd have to decide whether that person is part of the elect. And how do you figure that out? Well, in that kind of theology, it depends how sinful they are, how much faith they have. And notice you're always looking at the person and judging them by their deeds. Whereas in Lutheranism, how do I know I'm saved? I am baptized. Baptized? That's something you weren't even dealing with. You didn't make that choice. That's true. I was baptized as an infant. But the reason it is such an assurance to me is because God has attached promises to baptism. Just go to Acts chapter 2. What are the two promises that Peter tells those who realize they've killed the Messiah? Number one, you will receive the gift of the remission of sins. Number two, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, is God a liar? No. Now, does that mean that I'm baptized, I can go on sinning and doing all that I want, and that maybe gets back to Ken's question? No, you can fall from your baptism, and the way you fall from it is through unbelief. You no longer believe Jesus Christ is your Savior. You no longer believe that he forgives your sins and numerous other situations. Yes. We believe a person can fall from their baptism. But if you're worried about it, that means you haven't fallen from it. And this is such good news. It gives us the greatest news the world has ever heard. And it's a news that we need to keep proclaiming. That's why we encourage you to, if at all possible, to be motivated to send us some contributions to Law and Gospel. Listen carefully at the end of this item, and you'll hear the address to send it to. It's just that if you want an IRS deduction, don't make the check out to Law and Gospel, but to Concordia Mission Society. And then send it to that same address, and you'll get an IRS statement from us thanking you for taking care of Law and Gospel, keeping us on the air here on AM 850 KFUO. But even if we went off the air, you got a lot of other programs, the Bible study, Issues, etc. Each week, and of course I'm on there on Tuesday's Law Time for the Sunday school lesson, but each week they have, what, 15 hours of programming and a lot of speakers, a lot of issues, and in light of what Barbara said, a lot about doctrine. Doctrine is a wonderful thing because it tells us how God thinks about you. And one of the doctrines we're going to be looking at on the next Law and Gospel, which is Monday, you know, we've had tornadoes, hurricanes, the Las Vegas situation. How can Paul say, do not be anxious about anything? How can he say, in whatever situation, I am to be content? How can he say that? We're going to examine that on the next Law and Gospel on Monday, as it is part of the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Till then, God bless.
At this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.